Back WNST, Towson, Baltimore. At Baltimore Positive, we're going to positively try to keep a sense humor about things here in this segment because we're talking about fake football. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. The new Raven scratch-offs are coming. I'm going to have those out. This is the 50th anniversary. I'll still have these when I gather at Pappas in Glen Burnie next Tuesday, the 29th. There is a rumor that Ray Bachman may be joining me for a 25th anniversary reunion. So I'm looking forward to that, as well as County Executive Stuart Pittman. I got to tell Stuart Pittman I'm looking forward more to Ray Bachman than actually him. That would be very, very offensive. Probably not to Stuart Pittman, who's got a good sense of humor. Also going to be joined by a new friend of mine on Thursday, trying to get my act together to be more organized and have my mind and my business mind more organized. So all of that will be happening. So I have a mystery guest. That'll happen on Tuesday. Great guest around here all week, Tyler Kepner from the New York Times, joining us to talk about the wackery of John Angelos. But this segment's not about that at all. This segment is about Luke Jones attending football in Raljan, the Governor's Cup. In the preseason, Luke Jones and the Josh Johnson-a-thon. I don't know, dude. You were down there into the night. A lot of people fell asleep on it. The Ravens lost. The streak is over. I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have this to talk about for the next 11 preseasons. How are you? Did you survive Raljan, and did they park you somewhere in Montgomery County?
Oh, yeah. I got my steps in on Monday. There's no doubt about that, but as preseason games go, and look, we've called it fake football for years, and people take offense to that. We understand there are lots of guys out there. It's their livelihood on the line, guys that are trying to make the team, guys that are trying to make the practice squad. So when we call it fake football, it's shtick. The outcome doesn't mean anything. The end result doesn't mean anything. That's what's made this 24-game preseason winning streak so hilarious, because if it meant anything, Lamar Jackson would have been out there and all their starters would have been out there. But we know how that's gone. And by the way, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the starters not playing. But that's when it becomes even sillier.
You know why you're fine with it? Because you're not buying the tickets.
Well, sure. No. But my point is, I'm talking about just understanding the context of what it is. And for what it was an entertaining football game. I think ESPN had to be thrilled that they got what they got in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, which was something that was at least entertaining. You know, even if it's hilarious to see Washington as excited as they were to end the Ravens preseason.
Dude, I saw those TikTok videos in the end zone after the game. After that, like, it looked like it was right up there with the Capitals and the Nationals winning the championships.
Yeah. I don't know if I go that far, but the people who were still there, they were into it. And the Commanders were certainly into it. If you saw some of the post-game comments, Jahan Dotson saying it was the biggest preseason win ever or something like that, which I just had to laugh.
Well, past, I used to attend these games all the time, and then Chad threw me out, and here we are, and you're stuck there, and I'm stuck here. I'm telling you what, watching the game on television and watching the new owner show up in – I don't know what that was. It was weird and awkward. He kept trying to shake Joe Buck. I don't know if you catch any of this, because, like, you're trying to figure out who's lining up, in the secondary, in the second quarter of the game, and the Redskins owner is there and just a complete weirdo. And of all, like, it was just freaky, dude, like the whole part of it. And I kept thinking, are they going to rename them again? And are these jerseys really any good? And, you know, what command? And, like, I'm watching all of this because the football's not really all that interesting. I mean, it really isn't.
I mean, it is on an individual-by-individual basis. I mean, seeing Zay Flowers do what he did in the first quarter on the first drive, that was good to see. You know, when you're looking at individual cases, I think you can find some intrigue, or you can find some things you like, some things you don't like. But, I mean, that's what's so funny about preseason football at this point is you had Washington with their offensive starters, save for, their left tackle and I believe their tight end, were out there. And they were playing right off the bat, the Ravens' second team. And then a couple drives in, it started to be a mix of second and third team guys. So from that standpoint, Washington's offense in the first half, is it anything that's all that impressive?
Dude, that's
Is it
why I'm
anything?
looking at it and saying, like, they're completing third and 16 against whom? You know, like the defense
Right.
couldn't get off the field. And I'm like, well, I don't know what it means. I literally,
Right.
when I'm watching it.
Exactly. And that's why you're really looking for individual performances. I mean, I saw some people, talking about Caillou Kelly, the Ravens' fifth round rookie. And look, I would have told you before that game on Monday night that he's not ready to play. And I don't mean that in the sense that he won't develop and become a guy that's eventually some depth for them. But as it stands right now, assuming he's going to be on the 53-man roster, he's going to be the last corner on the roster. So what does that mean? He's going to be on special teams or he's going to be inactive on game days. So
And it
that's what
means
you're
he shouldn't be matched up with Terry McLaurin.
exactly. So that's where you look at this. And, and on the flip side, I mean, the Ravens had their second offense out there. It was good to see Josh Johnson look better than he did against Philadelphia, which was not good whatsoever, really, save for a couple plays. So that was good, but it's backups against backups. What do you really glean from that?
What
Again,
do I
that's
learn
where.
from Tylan Wallace, who's in the post game comments? What do we learn about that?
Well, Tylan Wallace, he's had a really nice summer. He already has been a core special teams player for them over the last couple of years, even if he hasn't developed as a wide receiver in the way they would have liked. To me, he's their sixth wide receiver. Assuming they're going to keep six wide receivers, he's on the roster. And I would have told you that before Monday night, but he, to me, strengthened his case to be that. So, again, you look at individual cases. You look at individuals out there. Ardarius Washington, who had to come back out on the field for the final drive because the Ravens were out of corners because they had a couple guys get nicked up, and obviously they had so many hurt already. He had a really nice night. I think he's made an excellent case for himself to certainly be on the roster and to be in the mix as the nickel or someone who could be at the nickel spot. And certainly that'll be matchup, determined by matchup on a week by week basis. So that's how you, for anyone that gets mad at us talking about fake football and the shtick of the winning streak and all that, if you want to be, if you want me to give my serious take on it, that's how you approach it. Not because the Ravens lost 29-28 because Jake Fromm went down the field and the Commanders kicked a game-winning field goal against third and, in some cases, a couple of positions, probably even a fourth string. I mean, guys that are probably not even going to be on the practice squad, let alone talking about them being on the 53-man roster. So that's how you really, if you want me to take preseason seriously, that's what I'm looking at. So from that standpoint, yeah. The preseason winning streak was one of the quirkiest things I've seen. I mean, think about it. 2015 was the last time they've lost a preseason game. Mark Trestman was their offensive coordinator. Ronnie Stanley wasn't even on this football team. I mean, literally the only guys that are still around beyond the coaches, some of the coaches, Justin Tucker and Brent Urban, who had since left and has since come back. That's what you're talking about here. So
I want to find some degenerate that, started betting on this in 15 and was flipping it forward and doubling it down because the Ravens never lose in the preseason. And, I mean, the odds of winning 24 preseason games in a row got to be right up there with, with Powerball and Mega Millions, I would think.
It's crazy, crazy, especially when you consider the variables at work. Who are you playing? Who are your opponents playing in terms of first team, second team, third team?
Now, hold on for a second. Harbaugh hadn't played starters in years and years and years for the most part at any point. So it's always been sort of trash time. And to your point, the beginning of the game and one of the reasons it is fake football is their first team should be able to convert third and 16s against our third team. You know what I mean? Like, it's not competitive football in that way. It really isn't. It's evaluative football. It's like it would be like somebody reading your work or my work and we're halfway through a draft. Like it doesn't. For years they've made this something that people come and buy popcorn and drive to Hershey to see the Redskins and the Colts, and they spent, they baked it into ticket packages that pissed Stebbins off in the 70s, and it just got away with it. They get away with a lot of things, including banning media members. So, I mean, but getting away with charging for these games and putting it on TV, it only has so much value, and the most value it had for me was watching it on TV and seeing what Aikman and Buck were going to say about lots of things. But they spend the whole pregame with Lamar, 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 and Robert Griffin. It was horrible. And then, like, the game starts and there is no, the stars aren't there. So, and most of it's about really an infomercial for Josh Allen versus Aaron Rollins. I couldn't get enough of that. I mean, like, so it, knowing the Kevin Brown situation and knowing the way we do media and why people come to our YouTube channel, why people come and consume our media, all of it gets devalued even more when I heard Joe Buck say this, and I'm probably going to use this one a little bit more. So here's the owner who spent $6 billion and 0.5, who is either, I don't know, people thought he was inebriated. I don't know. I just thought he was kind of weird and awkward and like all of that. And Joe Buck is saying, we have this very significant, important person with us. And I'm like, oh, it's like Kevin Brown interviewing John Angelos at this point, you know? It's weird. And so all of it feels a little weird to me being on the outside and watching it on TV as to where the rub is and where the real entertainment value is. And then to your point, for those of us who really care who the 51st and 52nd guys are and what the future pipeline might be for a guy they're trying to hide on developmental and, you know, IR, all the things that they're going to wind up doing here, hokey pokey, they're going to play between now and whenever they play Houston. In addition to trying to get these veteran guys, they signed Darby, they signed Clay. How are these guys ramping up for September 10th? And that's for you on the backfields, because that's the real question here is what's going to be on the field September 10th, not what was what crap Joe Buck was talking about in the fourth quarter, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. A couple things. Very clearly, the NFL and ESPN, for that matter, they wanted to make it clear that Daniel Snyder's no longer the owner of the Washington Commanders. So that's why you see Joshua Harris
Well,
there.
that's where the game was
Weird
baked
enough.
into a Monday night to begin with,
Sure,
right?
sure. Right. And to be clear, you know, your point about TV, look at what the ratings will be. I mean, that's you'll see what the ratings are compared to any baseball game that was on Monday night, and it will absolutely smash it. So
And
because
the
we know the
reason for
NFL's king.
that is the entertainment value of Buck and Aikman talking about football and learning about things. It isn't
Sure.
what's going on the field. It just isn't.
Yeah. I mean, when you get to that, and you even see that to a point. I mean, not that I'm watching a ton of the Ravens' local preseason telecast because I'm at the game, but it is an infomercial. You're talking much more about the guys that are on the sideline who didn't suit up at all, or they play the first couple series. You know, I mean, it's just the last couple of years where the Ravens have gotten to the point where they don't play any of their starters, even up until, you
By
know,
the
2 years.
way, Rod and Jerry, when they do the games with Evan or whatever, it is a back rub. I mean, it's a Ravens
Sure.
production right out of the Michelle
Sure.
Andres, Chad Steele brand playbook, branding brand. I mean, they never stop branding to the point where it's gross. I mean, the social media, like all of it is their social media now brought to life through the voice of Jerry Sandusky, who brings credibility and integrity to the process. And then Rod's there, and for me, it's back rubby, but it's informative because Rod's a balka, and you and I, we have a special relationship with Rod. So like, I love that Rod's doing it because I feel like there's less BS involved because Rod's less BS and Rod doesn't care. And so there is a point where Rod will talk about, you know, good looking player, but he's got a little ways to go and talk about
Right.
things that are football things that don't feel back rubby. They don't feel like Ryan Mink, who's worried about getting fired if he criticizes anything or anybody, like all of that. Rod has a little more latitude. So I felt a little cheated that I didn't get Rod. You know what I mean? Like I was almost like, should I put the radio on to hear kind of what they're doing? And I'm thinking, oh, Jerry does radio every week. Like they don't really do the TV, but in the preseason, it's helpful. It really is helpful because they have a lot of information and they have to work. If I mean, and Jerry's not lazy and Rod's certainly not lazy. They have to work really hard to make those broadcasts at least in the third and fourth quarter on Saturday night. They have to know something about all these Tylan Wallaces that you hopefully know on the backfields because you're nerded up about it, but they get to vomit it a little bit in a way that is helpful for me as a fan and as a reporter.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I mean, they have a production meeting where they have a little more access to John Harbaugh to, you know, select members of the coaching staff, select players, and that's where you're going to hear information about, okay, so and so is on the roster bubble and probably has a decent path to the roster, and you have that. You know, Rod Woodson, he's more detached in the sense that he's not around the team on a regular basis. You know, he but he gives you that professional perspective where he'll see, you know, especially talking about a defensive back, you know, his technique's not good or whatever it might be. So you'll get that discerning eye from him that is a little more removed from, you know, like what you just said, people that, you know, whether they're team website or, you know, flagship, whatever it is. So, yeah, I mean, you get that. And again, it's all a big commercial for the regular season. I mean, that's what it is. We know that, whether it's ESPN or whether it's, you know, a local broadcast in any of the 30 NFL markets. I mean, that's just what you're going to get. So, you know, from that standpoint, if you understand what you're watching, you know, you'll get what you want to get out of a preseason game. And again, I think you'll find lots of fans excited about someone like Keaton Mitchell, who is going to be at best their fourth string running back, but boy, he's fast. And you see him understanding where the Ravens are with J.K. Dobbins beyond this year, which is he's in a contract year. Same with Gus Edwards. Keaton Mitchell, if he can run around on special teams and, you know, be a gunner on the punt team maybe, or be your backup kick returner behind Duvernay, who's also a free agent, mind you, after this year, then, yeah, there's a guy that makes a lot of sense to keep on the 53-man roster if you can make room for him. So, you know, you'll get some of that over the course of a game, and you'll get some special insights on that. And, you know, if I'm Jerry Sandusky, I'm mentioning that John Harbaugh has brought up Keaton Mitchell on a few occasions, unprovoked, over the course of the summer. That's typically something that, you know, puts up your sensors a little bit in terms of, you know, that guy might make the team. So
you sound like a guy that's been covering these press conferences for 16 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, most of what is said doesn't mean a whole lot, but a lot of times you listen for what's volunteered. You listen to what isn't said about a player, and, you know, that doesn't mean it's foolproof, but you try to read the tea leaves a little bit in that way.
Did you understand that when you were like a teacher up in Pennsylvania watching all this, or has doing this, especially through these preseasons, sort of honed your BS detector?
Oh, I mean, you have to learn that. And a lot of that is just, you know, I've covered John Harbaugh for 15 training camps now. The first few, you know, how I would have taken a press conference or what he might say about something, or lecturing people about making fun of the preseason winning streak, I'd probably take that more to heart. Now it's just, you know, I'm more amused by it more than anything. A lot of times it ends up being kind of theatrical, you know, when you really think about it. But
oh, it's all like professional wrestling, right?
I mean
Trump
of it,
won
but
a presidency in that way,
right?
But it is a Vince McMahon, Mean Gene Okerlund production. And yeah, it is when Sandusky gets together with Harbaugh, that's what it is. And like, I view it as such. I view it as a championship wrestling hour bought on channel 45 from 4 to 5, just brought to light in a different hour. I can't see it any other way, but from what we do, evaluative, critical, praise, try to be informative, enlightening, entertaining in our own way, in our own space. I'm just looking for information, especially being locked out for the first time in my life. Right. This is where that I have to keep my radar up as to, would Jerry Sandusky really BS me, or is he telling me the truth? And I have to wonder, because I sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I have to figure out and guess, because they don't answer questions anymore, as to where the line is to truth, as I need to serve it up as a journalist.
Yeah, and that's where you kind of go through what are the various filters of information, right? I mean, Jerry Sandusky might tell you something that he was told by someone in the organization or a coach or a player, and that's not always truthful, or that's not always 100% truthful if we want to try to be, you know, frame it in a kinder way. So you have that filter, and then anyone who's listening, whether it's you or me, or whether it's just a fan watching it on TV or listening on the radio, you kind of make up your mind whether that jives or not. You know, we talk about that with injury information that they'll give out. You know, that's very vague.
Well, the narrative right now on Marlon Humphrey, that you and I are sitting here and saying, he'll be back October 1st, right? Right? You know, like, we're carrying that water, right? Kind of.
I mean,
Lamar was going to come back and play both years, right? Right?
Sure.
Right?
I mean,
that's where we picked up the act the last time, right? Like, literally.
Well, and there have been times where they think something will happen and it ends up not happening that way, right? I mean, I always think back to, because fans will bring up the Breshad Perriman injury. You know, first day of training camp is rookie year, and John Harbaugh initially called it a knee bruise. The Ravens didn't think he was going to miss the whole year at that point in time when that happened. But, you know, you get more information. Some players heal faster than others. Some guys have setbacks. I mean, there are, in fairness to John Harbaugh, and this is where I'll stick up for him a little bit when it comes to injury information, because there are plenty of times when he's clearly trying to be evasive or trying to deflect or blur the line. But there is a lot of gray area with injuries. You know, it's not as though a player hurts his hamstring and, you know, you enter in information into a computer and it spits out that, oh, he'll be out for 17 days and he'll return on September 14th to practice. You know, it's not that specific. So there is some gray area at times. However, they use that to their advantage, or to, you know, to be vague and try to gain a competitive advantage against teams that they're playing. I mean, right now, it's very well possible that Marlon Humphrey, maybe he misses the first four games of the year. If that were the case, it would make sense to put him on injured reserve, and then you can return after a minimum of four games. However, if you're the Ravens and you're looking at the early season schedule where you play Houston, you play Cincinnati in week two, there's a big one, home against Indianapolis at Cleveland. If you put Marlon Humphrey on IR the day after cutdown day, those four teams automatically know that Marlon Humphrey's not playing against them. So there's a case where if you have the roster room, if he has a chance to return in three games, even if it's not a great chance, or there's a 1% chance that he can return in week three, then you don't put him on IR. And then you can leave that, you know, that's some amount of doubt in that opponent's head. So these are all games. And like you said, it is very WWE like when you look at
All
it.
of
That's
it, all of
not
sports. I
being
mean, it's the
cynical. It's
same.
just,
Yeah, it's the same thing with Melanie Newman sitting there talking. I mean, you know, wearing the bird outfit. I mean, it's. I don't know what else to say. The way I'm consuming it as a fan these days, you can't even consume the baseball team half the time and get the games. But I mean, it's been a curve. I mean, like I'm watching Scott Van Pelt yell with these three guys before the game. It was awful. And I was begging for Susie Colbert to come back. And I like Ryan Clark fine. I'm not an RG3 guy at all. You know, not in the locker room, not out of the locker room. You know, not even Dave Shinen's book. I love you, Dave. I just give me something to hold on to. You know what I mean? Like, give me something good. Give me something. I hope we're creating something good because I'm more inspired than ever to make this good. Because I honestly, I look for good. And you and I've talked for years about the difference between Major League Baseball Network and the NFL Network in regard to. And again, I watched the draft coverage wall to wall a couple, or not draft coverage, excuse me, trade deadline coverage. 3 weeks ago, wall to wall, was really good on Major League Baseball Network. It was, you felt like you were inside of something, as opposed to the way the NFL, where it feels like, you know, Rodgers in his million-dollar couch drinking cocoa and you're somewhere else. And you're outside the fence looking in, you know. It's just different. And the way people love the NFL, to your point, like putting the game on, like, I don't know. What would possess somebody in Topeka, Kansas, to want to watch the fourth quarter of that game, other than they like Joe Buck and they like Troy Aikman, or they may say something interesting? And I think they tried, you know, to some degree. But this Saturday, let's get to Luke Jones is here. Ravens lost. It's over. Boo hoo. We got to pick ourselves back up and get the four squad back out there. What do you expect the next week? Because I mean, we're not going to get together every minute about everything that happens here. Lamar's healthy. He's throwing the ball. Nobody's going to play this week. The cutdown thing next week. This is always an awkward time, as we learned on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I mean, this is an intense time of year. For as much as we poke fun about the preseason games and fake football and all that, we understand that there are a lot of individuals that, you know, this is a very difficult week to 10 days as you get down to these last couple preseason games. Look, Saturday night at Tampa, is there going to be a roster spot or two still up for grabs? Maybe one or two at most. For the most part, coaches at this point over these last few days, they're going to be making their decisions. And we know that they're occasionally, like Michael Pierce is a great example of this. He pretty famously at this point made the 53-man roster. I believe they were playing, it's either New Orleans or Atlanta, you know, one of the domes that they went down for the last preseason game. And he was an undrafted rookie. I mean, he really hadn't been on my radar that much until about a week prior to that. Started hearing a little bit of chatter and, had played well in some of the previous preseason games, but he had a big performance and he made the 53-man roster. But, compared to what you'll hear on the telecast on Saturday night, you'll hear them talk about 14 bubble guys, maybe one or two of them at that point might still have a chance. The rest are either in or out at that point, and probably the performance in that game against the Buccaneers is not going to change anything. So final cuts are next Tuesday, and certainly they'll formulate the practice squad after that, which we know the practice squad is what, 16 players, as has been the case for a few years now. So there's still plenty on the line, and for even guys who aren't going to be on the 53-man roster, maybe will be on the practice squad, they're looking to put out great tape. But because there are going to be 31 other teams watching, including the team across the field from them on Saturday night, where they can make a job, they can win themselves a job elsewhere, whether it's being a waiver claim or maybe being on someone else's practice squad. So it's not a whole lot of skin in the game in terms of, to your point, I mean, the starters didn't play in week one and week two for the Ravens. They're certainly not going to play in week three. So from that standpoint, there's not a whole lot of intrigue. And I'm going to be covering the Orioles game and watching it on my laptop, because it's in Tampa as it is. So, but this is an intense, tough, difficult week for a lot of players, even some guys who've been around for a couple of years. We know that, guys that are in the final year of their rookie contract, guys like Ben Cleveland, for example, who's absolutely on the bubble because he was drafted 2 years ago with thoughts that he'd be a starter for them by now, and it hasn't happened. So is he going to hang around on the roster as a reserve, or do we see him potentially, I don't know, traded, to another team that liked him coming out of the draft? That's a possibility. Or is he let go? And we saw this
Well,
with
this
Tyree
would be
Phillips
a
a year
week
ago.
for
So,
Eric to fleece a couple draft picks. I mean, he threw that punter that got mugged
yeah.
out to Minnesota.
Corey
And
Vedvik,
like,
yeah.
yeah, I mean, my God, like, this is a week where Eric thinks about that stuff, right? Literally.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reality. I mean, I mentioned Caillou Kelly a little bit earlier in our conversation. I mean, he struggled against the Washington starters, as you'd expect a fifth round rookie to do. But, it was just a couple years ago, Sean Wade was a fifth round corner that they drafted out of Ohio State and wasn't good enough. And guess what they did? They ended up trading him to New England. So you'll have a little bit of that here and there. I don't think anyone should be expecting that to happen, but certainly that can happen. And as we talked about even before the game, Ronald Darby, Jadeveon Clowney, two guys that are going to be on this defense now. I think it's going to be intriguing to see where Darby is physically because he had a torn ACL last October, so he's still not quite even 10 months removed from that. So that's that's a big question, especially at the cornerback position. And
But that's who
Jadeveon
you
Clowney,
sign
he's
when you're
this year's.
signing cornerbacks on August 15th, right?
Yeah,
Literally.
I mean that's the reality, and I mean Darby had worked out for I think it was three or four other teams and hadn't been signed. Now that doesn't mean he can't play, but whatever he was asking financially wasn't aligned with whatever those teams were offering, and then ultimately the Ravens sign him and for not a whole lot of money, so there's no problem on that front. But how close is he to being his quote normal self? Because when he's his normal self, he's a he's a legitimate NFL starter. He's a quality NFL starter and has been in his career, but he's had injuries and specifically an ACL in the last year. So that's something where you take pause. Jadeveon Clowney is this year's Justin Houston. You hope he works out as well as Justin Houston did the last couple of years, but that's also in concert with expecting more out of Odafe Oweh, expecting more out of David Ajabo. So this is all about how your roster fits, and they're going to formulate their initial 53-man roster. And what we also know, Nestor, is that's going to change a lot, not just between now and week one, but certainly as you get deeper into the season, because there will be attrition and more injuries, and some guys will come back from injury, and we'll see how it shakes out. But we are at the point now where the light is at the end of the tunnel. We're only a couple weeks away from the start of the season. So, but in the meantime, some difficult roster decisions, certainly difficult on the player side, where you have a lot of young men who. And this is, again, we make fun of preseason football, Saturday night will be the final time some of these guys take the field. Playing football, something they've done since they were 8 years old or 10 years old. So we're recognizing that. At the same time, we also are going to call spade a spade and say, look, preseason football, when you're not playing your starters, it's not the most entertaining product. But what's amazing about it, and ESPN will tell you this, and we'll see what the ratings are for that game on Monday night. People watch. And that's what's kind of amazing, because there are elements of it you wouldn't think people would watch it, but they still are. And it just speaks to the lucrative popularity that the NFL has.
Bah, 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 bah. Luke Jones will be in Owings Mills. He'll be at Camden Yards. He'll be at Camden Yards. He'll be in Owings Mills because they don't let me in. I'll be writing about that in 2 weeks, as well as we get ready for a football season that this is the strangest of emotions in regard to John Angelos's New York Times piece, the lease, me being in Ocean City and everybody talking baseball with me and not football, the weirdness of still having 20 baseball games left before we even play a football game, and then there'll be train wrecks happening in the middle of the week because we're going to play baseball here in October for the first time in a long time. So great things happening. Our friends at Window Nation remind you, 866-90-NATION, they're putting me out on the road on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, including our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be at Pappas in Glen Burnie on the 29th. That's Tuesday. And then we're going to be at Fadley's on the 15th of September. I'm putting things together. Kids are going back to school. Football starting. I got baseball playoffs. I'm trying to figure out the tour into the fall. But this whole baseball in the play, it's almost like earthquakes and hurricanes in Los Angeles. It just doesn't happen. So I'm trying to prepare for all of this. Luke is doing double duty, and he'll be following baseball all week long from Camden Yards. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.